Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Police are investigating after the body of a man was discovered inside a wall in a public washroom at a mall in downtown Calgary.
So the guy was sealed up during construction, do they believe?
They don't think that. They have an interesting take on this. The discovery was made in the fourth floor washroom at the Core Shopping Center. A maintenance worker was called in the morning to fix a toilet that wouldn't flush in the woman's washroom. There's a panel behind it so that when people move, it will automatically flush. When they removed that panel, they found a deceased person behind that wall.
Wow.
The Calgary Fire Department helped remove the body, and the medical examiner was called to the scene. Police said there was nothing to immediately indicate whether the death was suspicious or not.
So they believe it was suicide, where the person killed themselves and then walled themselves up?
Maybe. No, they said despite...
First, I'm going to kill myself, and then I'm going to hide my body.
Despite the circumstances of where the body was located, investigators do not suspect foul play.
How could that be?
The death remains classified as undetermined, police said. They said it is possible that someone crawling through a vent or duct fell from above and got stuck in the wall.
Wow. Or was the suction so hard on the flush?
Maybe.
That he got sucked up into the wall.
It drew them in.
A lot of people are afraid of that, you know, especially in the airplane toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. This is pretty fun. Police in Massachusetts have arrested a suspect after he left behind the scene of a crime Play-Doh that contained his fingerprints.
So he left his own fingerprints in Play-Doh.
Yes, he did.
What was he playing with Play-Doh for?
Well, here's what happened. He was wanted in at least two other states and is currently residing at the Worcester County House of Correction. The suspect, accused of shoplifting, used the Play-Doh to thwart an anti-theft device commonly used by retail stores to safeguard electronics.
So he covered the transmitter in Play-Doh.
Yeah, he plugged something up that was part of the theft prevention.
Oh.
And in pushing it in with his thumb, he left a complete clear thumbprint.
That's
in the
wild.
Play-Doh. There's a close-up shot of the Play-Doh. Look at that.
So...
Thank you, idiot.
Yep, exactly.
Could you walk by a pile of Play-Doh and not
I would have a hard time not at least squeezing it or smelling it, because I love the way Play-Doh smells, too.
You can actually eat it, too, right?
Yes, you can. It doesn't taste good, but...
Wait, you can actually eat Play-Doh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the ingredients that it's made out of are not toxic.
No, really?
Yeah, you can use loose leaf reinforcements as Jimmy's.
What flavor do you think green is?
No, I hate Play-Doh. I hate the smell of it.
They all have the same flavor.
I know.
The LPD has filed charges against the suspect, Dennis Jackson, who is expected to be arraigned in the near future. It's unclear whether he has retained an attorney or not.
But we're glad he's stupid.
Authorities say an Arkansas man who was being investigated after alleging that he tracks Bigfoot for the U.S. government has been arrested on a child porn charge. 46-year-old Keith Barnes was arrested last week after authorities say they found evidence for a charge of possessing or viewing matter depicting sexually explicit conduct involving a child.
Apparently there's a big child pornography problem with the people our government pays to hunt down Bigfoot.
They're just starting to find
that out. The kind of person drawn to that enjoys kiddie porn.
The sheriff's office says it received an anonymous tip that Barnes possessed child pornography during an impersonation investigation. The investigation began after people reported seeing Barnes wearing a uniform with a badge and stating that he was a cryptozoologist with the Department of Interior that tracks Bigfoot.
Okay. There we go.
The department says Barnes doesn't work there and the job title doesn't exist.
Well, the giveaway, too, is that he had a slingshot in his holster.
Okay. Well, he is headed to court on June 18th.
This makes me rethink Harry and the Hendersons.
An unusual moment in Houston traffic is going viral after a man challenged another driver to a game of rock, paper, scissors for the right of way. This is a great story. Marco Sanchez posted a video on Facebook showing him challenging another driver to the game to see who would get to go first in the lane amid extremely slow rush hour traffic last week. So they were at a merge point, and it was just almost a deadlock, just inching along. And so he
that's great.
Signals over to the guy. Sanchez wrote, "Stuck in Houston traffic like always, and this guy wanted to get in front of me, and I was not going to have it today." Without challenging him on a game of rock, paper, scissors. So the video shows Sanchez being bested in the game and allowing the other driver to merge.
Well, awesome. There you go. Cooler heads prevail.
Yeah.
How is your rock, paper, scissors game?
It's whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
I always lose.
foot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to choose between the three.
I know, but I make the wrong choice. But isn't paper always kind of the paper covers rock, right?
It's all
scissors
equal.
Covers paper, man.
Yeah.
I just ball up my fist and punch the person.
So he lauded the other driver for going along with his game. He said, "Houston traffic makes people even more angry after a long day of work." But that was a cool little
moment
that they had there. All right, one more story, and then we will wrap it up. Okay, a man who was halfway through serving a 4-day sentence for driving under the influence escaped the North County Detention Facility in Sonoma County on Friday night and was captured 38 minutes later.
I got to get out of here.
And listen what he did. Mark Schwartz scaled a fence capped with razor wire coils at the detention center. He had been there. He was only there for 4 days.
I can't spend another 32 hours here.
Schwartz untangled himself from the razor wire, jumped a wooden fence, and ran towards Sky Lane Boulevard.
I'm free!
The detention facility was locked down, and an inmate count determined that Schwartz was the escapee.
I've got to go find my wife. I hope she's still around.
An alert citizen reported a man running through tall grass in a nearby field, and the searchers established a perimeter. Steve, maybe he was afraid she wouldn't be faithful.
My kids are all grown up.
I'm sorry. How much time was he supposed to
four
serve?
4 days.
4 days.
He was only supposed to serve 4 days.
He broke out halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah. So deputies.
I got to get home.
More than 20 deputies joined the search for Schwartz. Deputies found him in a creek, and a bloody jail-issued shirt was found nearby. He was treated for his injuries and taken to a hospital for treatment for the razor wire wounds.
Ain't no jail gonna hold me, screw.
Now he was booked into the main, more secure Sonoma County Jail on suspicion of felony escaping.
So what does he receive for that?
Yeah. He's gonna get a happy
much more
one.
Substantial.
Absolutely, it's a felony.
Dummy.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
At a train station in Hamamatsu City, a male high school student was approached by an older man who said, "I will give you 1,000 yen if you sneeze."
"I will give you 1,000 yen if you sneeze."
The boy did, so the man handed young man a 1,000 yen bill and a tissue. Now, while on paper, that might sound like an awesome deal, the creepiness factor most likely gets a little jacked up when it happens in real life. It's unclear whether the student fulfilled his end of the bargain or simply gave back the money. But either way, he was disturbed enough to go to the police afterward and file a report.
That's easy money just for sneezing.
But I think the guy wanted to keep the tissue that he sneezed into.
Sick bastard.
The man is described as in his 30s and about 5 feet 10 inches tall. The issue of whether or not
I like a snot.
What the man was doing was a crime, as unsettling as it was, in order to pursue the investigation, police are citing Article 2 of the Police Act, which allows it to act under the aim of maintaining public safety and order. The authorities are currently asking around and checking security footage for more information on the sneeze procure.
They have the mucus division working on it.
Until they know more, they are advising all residents to be on the alert.
Don't sneeze for strangers.
This isn't the first such incident in Hamamatsu City. October 2016, a high school boy reported being approached by a man described as in his 20s, the man said to him, "Can you sneeze? I'm doing research on sneezing."
Sounds like the same guy.
And in December of that same year, police were able to find the man and give him a warning to not ask people for sneezes again.
They said at one point a school student was approached by a guy for a sneeze, and another guy came up for a burp.
Oh, man.
And he's like, "Wait, guys, this one at a time here."
Too much. Medical workers applied a plaster cast on the fractured hand of a 9-year-old boy too tightly, making it decompose.
Oh, my God.
A hand heard, a court heard yesterday.
The hand, that the blood cut off to the hand?
Yeah, yeah. The hand was later amputated. The boy has now sued the management of Kakamega County General Hospital.
I would never go to Kakamega Hospital.
Citing negligence.
What are you going to that Kakamega Hospital for?
His hand was amputated above the elbow, leaving an 8-inch stump. The boy told the court that his left hand got fractured when he fell from a tree. Health workers who attended him the same day told his mother that he had fractured his hand. Since the dispensary had no x-ray machine, they took him to a hospital, Kakamega Hospital.
Yeah, Kakamega.
Where a plaster cast was applied, and he was asked to return in 10 days. However,
it's right next to Amputation Memorial.
After 3 days, the child complained of severe pain. His grandmother took him back to the hospital. The hand was found to have started rotting.
Oh, my God. That must have been, he must have been in pain.
He had to have been. And the medics recommended amputation, so they're filing a lawsuit.
Did not need to happen.
No. Officials in Washington State say a, or no, I'm sorry, this is
Japan,
D.C.
Oh,
say a Lamborghini struck a concrete light pole in Northern Virginia and was cut in half. And I saw the picture of it. It was not lengthwise, but widthwise. It was sliced in half.
Jesus.
And news outlets reported Friday that the driver of the car that was split in two during the crash was treated for minor injuries. The
car's cut in half and, like, he walks away?
Yeah. The County Fire and Rescue Department said in a tweet that the back end of the
vehicle... Wait a second, Nick, I owe you some money.
Was on fire. Did he sneeze?
Yeah.
He just sneezed for me.
Was on fire, but was quickly extinguished. Damage was also visible on the front passenger side of the vehicle. But
good Lord.
The whole rear end.
It's sheared in half.
It's completely gone.
Whoops.
Yep. In May of 2017, British driver Bhavesh Patel climbed behind the wheel of his white Tesla S60 and headed down the crowded M1 highway at about 40 miles an hour. Well, he wanted to relax, so he switched on the autopilot function, but then... He swapped to the passenger seat for maximum comfort. I mean, he just left
the driver's seat
all together. After kicking up his feet and putting his hands behind his head, he left both the steering wheel and the foot controls entirely neglected.
Don't they recommend you still remain alert?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Patel, his seat switch was caught on film by a fellow driver who passed him on the highway.
So did he make his destination?
Yeah,
I mean, the car will get you there.
Yeah, so BBC News has reported that after an investigation by the court, Patel pleaded guilty to dangerous driving. He's been banned from the M1 for 18 months and is required to perform 100 hours of unpaid work as punishment. Pay the Crown Prosecution Services a fine of about $2,500 and undertake 10 days of rehabilitation. While Tesla, of course, provides its cars with an autopilot function, it is not infallible. A Tesla engineer who testified in court, in the court case, reiterated that autopilot is intended to assist a fully attentive driver, not replace the driver entirely. And there still needs to be someone behind the wheel ready to make corrections in the event of an emergency.
However, we are at the point where the cars will be good enough where you could hop in the back and take a nap.
Well, yeah, but those will be... Those are going to have to say you know,
yeah,
they have the ability to do that. This, they still say you're not allowed to do
they
that.
Recommend so. No. Yeah, well, you remember the footage of the guy... it was a woman sitting in the driver's seat, and a woman came out from the side of the road in the dark. Nothing in the car clicked on and collided right into her, killed her.
The worrying thing is that Patel's attitude toward the whole thing, while he acknowledged that what he did was silly, he also noted that he was just the unlucky one who got caught, which implies that this is definitely a thing that he's seen fellow Tesla drivers doing.
Why
before.
Would you? By the way, you could still sit in the driver's seat. My seat goes back.
You can relax.
You can relax, and you know what you do? You just put tape around your hands and to the wheel.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.